Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Everyone can say hi to Rona. Rosen's in Israel, so everyone can say hi to Rona. Hi, Rona. Okay. She told me time to go. Okay. We could really, as I was preparing tonight's shiur, I was like, the shiur should just be Parshas Mishpatim for our whole year. And we could just go pasuk by pasuk. I'm serious. We're going to talk about one pasuk today. That's it. Because Mishpatim has 50, I think it's 51 mitzvos in Parshas Mishpatim. And each one is listed like one pasuk, next pasuk, one at a time. And you can just look at one pasuk and have to figure out, there's all kinds of things to talk about just in that one pasuk. So today we're going to do this pasuk, Perek Chaf Gimel, pasuk Beis, which is already like a few prakim in actually, to Mishpatim. Which is obviously right. We are after, let's say, in theory, if you assume that we're going, the Torah goes in chronological order. So we got the Torah last week, Parshas Yisro, and then this week we are now in. Now we're getting like a download, right, of all like a whole bunch of mitzvahs right away. Let's get started and start learning all kinds of mitzvahs on the chavero, basically, which is what Mishpatim mainly is mainly.
How did you choose what you chose?
I don't know. I look around. I look around and then I decide. That's a good question.
Yeah, I don't know.
That's like, so in, that's like background. Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I don't know. I had seen something on this pasuk before. And then usually if I've seen like one idea that I like, then I kind of like branch out and find more stuff. That's sort of like how I...
Just
so if I, if, yeah, but I don't just like open the pasuk.
No,
that would be cool.
Maybe you hear the whole thing and work backwards and start speculating.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. No, that's a good question. Yeah. It's a fair question. Okay. Source number one is your pasuk for the day. Lo tiyeh acharei rabim l'ra'os. I have a translation here down below, which is something that Safaria has. They have like a bunch. But you, let's try to do it ourselves. Lo tiyeh acharei rabim l'ra'os.
You shouldn't go after the
many.
Many.
L'ra'os. Or l'ra'ot. To do bad. Okay, that's fair. You shouldn't follow the many to do bad. That's a reasonable translation. Good. Velo tane ariv lin tot. That's a harder one to say. Okay. So I'll give it, right, we have lo sane b'riacha in the Sars Deus. Lo sane b'riacha et shak, right? You shouldn't give false testimony, right? So lo sane ariv, don't give testimony, don't say something. Right, about a riv. A riv is
a fight.
Lo sane a riv, lintos, to send it in like one direction, right? To like lean in a certain direction. Hi, Evie. In a certain direction. But rather, acharei rabim lahatos. But rather, you should, or I don't know, I shouldn't say rather. And then, acharei rabim lahatos. You should, what? No, what's that?
Right.
After
the many, you should
turn towards,
lean towards. Yeah. Okay, so let's try that again. Lo siyach harei rabim l'ra'os, do not follow the many for something bad. Velo sane ariv lean tos, and don't testify, say something about a fight to take it in a certain direction. Acharei rabim l'hatos, you should follow the many, and lean towards that direction.
So it's like, don't give it to mob mentality?
Yeah.
It's because I wrote groupthink at the top of the page.
I did it, that wasn't, maybe it was.
This is why I shouldn't have done that. No, it's okay, that's fine. We're gonna talk about that. Yeah, yeah. This is all, it's gonna be all about this. So yeah.
I'm curious the intended punctuation.
Okay, good. Yeah, meaning, could this, right, there's a lot of interesting things here, right? So like, how do you break down the pasuk? How do you break it down even, right?
The way you read it gave it a certain punctuation.
I did. I gave it a certain punctuation. It's true. Right? That's actually how you lean. That's how the leaning goes for the pasuk. I don't know all the leaning by every pasuk by heart. Okay. It's early in the parsha, so I have to know the whatever. Okay, just kidding. I know them all by heart. shouldn't have told you. I didn't know it. Fine. So it's obviously complicated, and it's not obvious. what exactly this is talking about. What could it? What is it talking about? What would you think it's talking about? So one possibility is mob mentality. So it's talking to every person and talking about don't follow after just because everybody's doing it is not a reason to do something, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, Jenny, is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Yes? Just to be fair, if that's what it means in the first half, what does the last part of the passage mean? Acharei rabim lahatos.
It sounds like the opposite.
That sounds like the opposite. That sounds like follow the majority.
Right.
Or follow the many, at least. Mm-hmm.
So
that's weird.
Why is it opposite? Do
not. Well, you're using the translation of the
Bible.
Right? Is don't follow the many for something bad. But then at the end it says acharei rabim lahatos. Follow the majority.
Right.
It doesn't say only for good. Just by the way.
Right. Maybe that's just reflecting on the second clause.
Lo sane ariv lintos.
Like instead of you getting up there and trying to sway the masses, you should
follow the masses.
Follow the masses. As long as it's not for bad.
So I shouldn't follow the masses, it's for bad. But if it's for something good, I should follow the masses. And I shouldn't speak up and say something different.
I mean, I don't like it necessarily, but maybe.
I'm not asking, we're asking what our opinions are.
Neutral, like,
right? Okay, then it's something good about going following the majority or the many or the mighty.
The mighty it's like don't like want to get in with the popular crowd, and then you know even if it's you know and want to be on that side, like don't try to be with that group. Just like don't lie so that you can be part of that also.
Don't
like,
lie.
Like the powerful group.
Okay.
Regardless if it's not the many, does that make sense?
Okay, meaning be cool with being with the regular people, like which is most of us.
Right. Like don't try to be someone who is out there to change people's minds.
Don't try to change people's minds. Just do what everybody else is doing.
I mean, not in a bad way, right? Like, if you're someone who wants power or recognition...
Don't do that.
Then you're going to try to get people to think
don't do that.
The way you think. But, like, you could just keep your head down. Do the right thing.
Just be regular.
Yeah.
Okay?
I'm curious, what's the mitzvah here?
Great question.
That's what I'm having... Like, is the first one a mitzvah, and then the second one's a mitzvah, and the third one's also a mitzvah? Is this whole sentence one mitzvah?
Great question.
It's giving me, like... Pirkei
Avot
vibes.
It is Pirkei Avot vibes. No, what you mean, I think, by Pirkei Avot is like in Pirkei Avot, it's like three different things. Huayah Omer, boom, boom, boom. Like those three things seem to have nothing to do with each other.
Right.
And this is like they're kind of related, but kind of not, and they almost contradict each other.
Yeah. Right. What
is this? Right. And what is it? It's definitely a mitzvah. What's it talking about?
Yeah.
What's the context? Who to whom are we speaking?
Okay. So the other thing I was thinking is that it feels kind of prophetic because of all the times like going far down like to the times of Melachim where you have some kings who are good and then some kings who are bad who are like bring idols into the Beit HaMikdash. So it's like don't side with the many. Just because like everyone's doing this doesn't mean you should do it. Even if it's the king doing it, you need to do what's right.
But sometimes
this pasuk's still really confusing,
right?
It's contradictory.
It seems to contradict itself. Good. So it is confusing, and that's why we have a multiplicity of explanations as to what exactly this pasuk is trying to tell us, and even to whom it is speaking, okay? Who it's giving advice to, and who it's commanding to do certain things. So let's explore. Source number two, our very good friend, the Rashbam.
Yeah.
The Rashbam, see, he's back. Rashbam, source number two, says, Lo siyach harei rabim l'ra'os im heim danim shelo kedin lafi da'atcha. Okay, so where are we talking about? We're in a Beis Din. Okay, we're in a Beis Din, a rabbinical court. Okay, if they are giving a judgment that you think is not correct, va'af alpi shelo yaminu lacha ki'im lemirubim, and even though they're not going to listen to you, they're going to listen to the majority, you should still speak up. Lo siyah acharei rabim l'ra'os. If you think people are doing the wrong thing, this doesn't sound like dastardly, mm-hmm. per se. You think they're making a mistake. Okay? So what should you do? Don't just be, let's say you're a judge, and let's say there are, I don't know, three judges on the panel. Okay, maybe there's 23 judges on the panel, depending on what the issue is, right? Let's say there's 23. Let's say we're talking dini nefashos, we'll see, right? Judging a person to the capital crime. And everyone's on board, right? Guilty. And you think it's wrong. And you're going to raise your hand and say, I actually think that he's innocent. You might say, I don't want to do that. And like, what's it going to do anyways? They're going to kill the guy anyway. So I might as well just get with everybody else. Mm-hmm. Don't do that. That's not l'ra'os necessarily for a bad thing. They might be doing the right thing, but according to you, you think it's bad. You think it's wrong. So if you're a judge in that situation, don't follow, says Rashbam. Speak up, say what you think. Yes?
But who is that talking to, though?
Who do you think?
The Beis Din.
But if I'm sitting, I don't know who's allowed in the Beis Din, like, audience, right? But if I'm
No, we're talking about, we're not talking about Beis Din audience. No audience.
On the Beis Din, you
are a judge. You are a judge.
Okay, never
mind. It's talking to a judge in the Beis Din. You're saying, like, they say, like, the Beis, like people watching Beis Din.
Like,
no, it means people. It means people who are on the Beis Din, and they have, you know, they know what the rules are and how this works, but they still may have a different opinion, right? You sit in front of the Supreme Court, some people say this, some people say that. They're all, right? They're all appointed judges.
What are you saying? That's not a given. If you're a judge on a thing, isn't it, like, that's your job on the Beis Din. You're supposed to say what, if this something is right or wrong.
But isn't a judge on a Beis Din also a human being?
I'm thinking of, like, let's say there's also.
I'm just saying, and they might feel right. So this is not a jury. We don't have juries.
No, for sure. But like you could use this also. Like, this is important. You could also use it to apply today. Let's say you're sitting on a jury.
12 angry men.
Right, and there's one person who disagrees, but, like, you don't want to have to miss a few more days of work, and you don't like being here. So it's like, I'm not going to this argument. I just won't say anything. I'll side with them. This is like, no, you have to speak up.
There's another movie like that. That's much more modern. Called. It's a John Grisham novel, I think. The Juror or something like that.
The Juror.
The Juror? Yeah, something like that. Some weird messed up thing where they pay people, whatever. Yeah. Bottom line is, but the same thing, but in that case, that's a great example, right? Again, that's not just, according to Rashbam, that's not what we're talking about, right? So we'll have to see, but let's keep that in mind. If you haven't seen the 12 Angry Men, you should see it. It's like in black and white. I don't know. It's like really old, but it's a great. It's actually about groupthink. But at least this point. So let's keep that in mind. The 12 Angry Men, the Juror thing. But the Rashbam is saying you're a judge. You're a judge. Everybody's already decided that this is done. Right? Chayef, and you don't agree. So lo siyah chareya b'maros. Don't follow majority if you don't agree. Fine. And then it says v'lo saneh ariv. Lintos, achareim latos, mishpat. Vafilu kishehem mizakim adam upotrim mimita. Okay? So, you should, right? You know, if there's something happening and they're going to judge already, that the person's going to, you know, that they made a judgment about him, even if they are making the person, right, not have to be put to death. Okay? Let's say they said the person, you're not chayv me, so you didn't, we don't, we passing, you didn't kill the guy. Okay, so you don't have to. You're not going to be put to death. So then, achare rabim lahatos. Then you can follow along. What does that mean? So it sounds like mishpat. We're talking about a judgment. Afilu kishehem mizakim adam. Even if they're going to tell the person they are zocha, meaning they won, they're fine. They're good. Their judgment's in their favor. Upotrin mimita. And we're going to see what he might be talking about. They're saying he's not chayv misa. Right. So a person could be chayv misa and bezdin for a whole host of crimes. One of them would be, like, say, for example, a murder trial. And this person says that they, you know, there's testimony that the person killed somebody, right? And the judges have to decide, is that testimony good? Is it not good? Whatever. And they have to make a decision.
Did the Beis Din put people to death on a regular basis?
The Gemara says if it happened one time in 70 years,
right?
That was a bloody Beis Din.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they never did it, but it was very, very rare. It's very, very difficult. Much, much more difficult to put a person to death, to convict someone of murder.
So many things that you can get put to death for, like in the Torah, it tells you all the time.
Right, and almost never
nobody
happens.
Nobody ever gets put to death.
But why is that important anyways?
Why?
Why is it important anyways, even though it never happens?
Because you can see that they worked so hard to not put someone to
death. Oh, that's
true
also. Well, because it's important for me to know. I mean, if it's something that I could put to death for, that means God takes it very seriously, right?
Yeah.
But you're right, correct. It almost never happened, right? But let's just say.
Sorry.
No, you're right. But let's just say we're The group is saying, let him go. So then, achare rabim lahatos, leave it alone.
Mm-hmm. So if you disagree,
I don't know. It's hard to explain what he means.
It sounds to me like if everyone's saying this person's innocent, but you're the one person who thinks they're guilty,
let it go.
Then you're not supposed to say.
Interesting. Then maybe.
That's what
I'm not sure.
It was more like in the judgment phase, speak up. But once there's a vote, let's say. And the judgment is decided, you go along.
Accept it. You accept it. The Chafetz Chaim talks about this. I'm not entirely sure what the Rashbam means here, by the way. But it We'll see, it's going to come up again. Because a lot, we're going to have a lot of conversation about this Beis Din process a little bit as part of this. The Chafetz Chaim, by the way, talks about this separately, that a person who, in like Hilchos Lashon Hara, he says if a person is part of a Beis Din and they made a decision, and the decision was, Reuven gets the $5,000 Shimon has to pay. So you should, that was the decision. You shouldn't walk out as a dayan and say, just so you know, like Reuven, like I was with you. Mm-hmm. They passed it against me, but you can't do that, right? Mm-hmm. But this, it's a similar idea, right? The psak is, once the majority rules. And that's it, it's over. Mm-hmm. And it's over. So we're going to see, maybe that's part of what's going on here. I'm sorry I clapped you, I'm sorry. Okay, that's good, okay. Okay, Rabbeinu Bachai, source number three. Let's see, there's a lot of interesting pieces here. Okay, Rabbeinu Bachai says the following. Lo siyach harei rabim l'raos. Rabbeinu Bachai is still one of the Rishonim. He says, Aderech ha-pshat afilu ra'isa rabim mibnei adam she'ein no'agim kashura. Okay, this is a very different way to read this. You see people, a lot of them, who are doing the wrong thing. Lo tiyeh imahem. Don't follow, I mean, don't say, what do you mean? But everyone else is doing it. Right? That is not the way. So next time your kid says, but everyone else is doing, you say, lo siyeh chari rabim laraos. Okay? Don't say, well, if everyone else was jumping off the Brooklyn Bridge, would you do it too? Instead of saying that, you quote this pasuk. That's what it says, Rabbeinu Bachai. Right? Don't follow people to do nonsense, even though a lot of them are doing it. V'darshu chazal, but chazal made a derasha, azhara shlo yelchu b'dini nefashos berov dayan echad. Okay, so the simple pshat is that it's giving, like, you know, guidance to a person in terms of their, like, life decisions. Right? Make decisions for yourself. Don't follow people who are doing silly things. Okay? But the derasha, right, where Chazal understand the pasuk, the Torah Shebaal Peh, is it actually has to do with how you pass in Shalas and Beis Din, okay? Which is a little bit what Rashbam was saying. And what is that rule? It's a rule that you cannot, if it's Dinei Nefashos, you can't win by one vote. A Beis Din that judges capital crimes is 23 judges. It cannot be 12 to 11. If it's 12 to 11, the person goes free. Uh-huh. Okay? Zehu liraos. That's for bad. Bad, not meaning object like right and wrong, but liraos meaning it's bad for the person who is on trial, right? And so it's liraos to do the negative thing. Okay, lo siyach harei rabim laraos. Meaning you can't use the simple majority. That's how you read this pasuk. Lo siyach harei rabim laraos. Don't follow a simple majority to do bad to someone to punish. Okay, certainly when it comes to capital punishment. It has to be 13 to 10. Can't be 12 to 11. So it's got to be 13 to 10. 13, yeah, right, right. Yeah, 14 would be 9. Right? 13 to 10 or more, right? That's how you can only, that's the only way you can do this. Fine. Avalazakos, but to make good things happen, meaning to let them go free, yesh l'chalach tochet hadin berov dayan echad zehu acharei rabim lahatos. But to let them go, that's allowed. Okay, so that's, so now read the pasuk, right? So now read it again. Oh, see, we're gonna do this a lot of times. Lo siyeh acharei rabim l'raos. Don't follow a simple majority to make someone chayiv capital punishment. V'lo soneh ariv lintos, and don't, we didn't really totally explain that middle line, right? But acharei rabim lahatos, but you can follow the majority to do the good thing for that person, meaning to let them go. Even if they might be innocent. I'm sorry, they might be guilty. But nevertheless, we're careful. Simple majority to let them go. More than a simple majority if you want to find them guilty.
What does lintos mean again?
To lean, to have a, to sway in a certain direction.
So it's just Safaria's translation of perverse, because perverse makes it sound like a lie.
Mm-hmm. Perverse would mean to send it in a certain direction, right? We'll have to see. Maybe we can figure out whose pshat Safaria is using, right? But to pervert it would be like to send it in a certain direction where it's not necessarily shouldn't necessarily go that way, mm-hmm. right? And right. You kind of sway it on purpose.
Sort of like twisting.
Yeah. So that's like lo saneb shaker. Don't give testimony about your friend that is a lie. So you're perverting, you're swaying the judgment.
It's not the word sheker, it's the toast, which is...
Oh, sorry.
No, that's what I'm saying. Which one is it? Because one is not saying what anybody's saying. This one is saying you can't lie, right, in a
give testimony. Lo saneh is the give testimony, right. So you're saying lintos.
That's why I was so confused, because I was reading it.
Lintos is to, you know, you're right. It's like to send it in a certain direction, I think.
One is to do wrong, which is
testimony. Ta'ane is testimony. So they're using, they're saying the word lintos is perverse, because it's to sway.
So not a lie, just to push it in a certain direction.
I don't know. It could be a lie, but yeah.
Okay.
But to push it in a certain direction. Good. Okay. But look, now look at the second paragraph there, Rabbeinu Mechayev. Velo sane ariv. Okay, so now he's going to explain that other part. So he explained part 1 and 3, right? And now he wants to tell you about the middle line. Lo sane ariv. You have it?
Okay. Do not be a follower of the majority for evil, and do not respond to a grievance by yielding to the majority to pervert the law. It's also using the word pervert.
Read that again. What's the second part?
Sorry, I was just skipping to the end. Do not be a follower of the majority
for evil. Yes. Lo sane arachim rimilaraos. Good. But then?
Semicolon. And do not respond to a grievance by yielding to the majority to pervert the law.
That's not Rabbeinu Mechayev.
That's the order.
That's not how Rabbeinu Mechayev is reading this. Rabbeinu Mechayev is saying it's he's reading acharei rimilaraos as a separate, sounds like a separate point, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's 1, 2, and 3. 1 and 3 is don't do it for bad,
this
do it for good.
Combining 2 and 3.
Right, and that combines 2 and 3 together. Exactly. So let's see how he looks at 2. Lo sane ariv. Rabbeinu Mechayev. Azhar ledayan shlo yetoein lebaldin. Okay, this is a warning to a judge not to be toein is like to help the person make an argument, like make an argument on their behalf. Okay? Vazhara gam kein lechol ayoshim lefanav shleit anu ala echad mi bali adin v'shaloya anu ariv ela baldin bilvan. Meaning that no person should speak on behalf of the person who is on, like, you know, the plaintiff or the defendant, right? So if the plaintiff and the defendant have to like respond for themselves, there's a whole interesting conversation today about this, people who come to Bezdin are called a toein. It's like a lawyer who comes to help you in Bezdin, but it's a whole conversation because now you're supposed to have someone speak at your, but you have to say yourself what you think. So, but fine. But the point is, so the sa'ne ariv is telling the judge, don't like help the guy to say, or woman to say what their thing is, right? What their argument is. And also anybody else who's there should not jump in and make the argument on behalf of the person themselves. Lo sa'ne ariv. Don't respond to a dispute, meaning it's not your fight. The person has a dispute with somebody else, let them say their piece. You don't tell them what to say or how to say it.
In the context of being in the Beit Din?
Sounds
like generally mind your own business?
Sounds like it's in the Beit Din, right? Azhar ledayan, right? It's a warning to the judge. Mm-hmm. It's talking about in the Beit Din process, right, presumably, okay? You might ask me, but wait a second, I come to Beit Din, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to say. Okay, so it's a good question. How do we manage that? But the point is, somehow people can manipulate, and there shouldn't be manipulation. Just let everyone tell the story. Say what you believe. Say what happened, and just talk. Hatoveh yarchil v'hanitba yanehu. The person who is, like, you know, I guess that's the plaintiff will speak, and the defendant will respond. V'zulato lo yaneh ariv lo lo. And no one else should respond. It's not your fight. Let them, you know, each speak.
Did they not have witnesses that ever came?
They did have witnesses. They would bring witnesses on their behalf.
So
correct.
So none of this is a warning to the witnesses?
No, that's a separate. There are separate warnings to witnesses not to lie in Bezdin.
Okay, because you would think
this
could apply. I mean, not to give testimony.
So this is not about testimony. This is about like manipulating the arguments.
Okay.
A vidarshu, or another drasha, lo sane ariv, lo sane arav. Okay, it's a different pshat. Okay, don't respond to your rav, meaning lefishu chaser yud. There's no yud there, so. Riv, it's really Rav. It's written Riv. Written Rav. V'limincha kasuv she'ein lecha lamo bedin lifnei rabcha o lifnei misha gadol mimcha. You should not stand up in Bezdin and speak in front of someone who's greater than you. This we're going to see in a little while is the reason we have a halacha that we always start, if you have a Bezdin and they're speaking and they all want to give over what they think, we start matchilin minatzad. We start with the lower level, younger rabbis. And they speak first, and then afterwards you move up the ranks. Why?
Because otherwise you make.
Because once the head honcho speaks, once Rav Shechter says something, everyone's like, oh, Rav Shechter said, you know, right? It's over, right? And actually, maybe it's halacha, You're not supposed to speak. You can't speak. Paskin, your Rebbe says something. You can't. So, but the problem is, if we would be so deferential that we don't allow anyone to speak, once the Talmud Chacham speaks, so what's going to happen?
There's no point having a
base. There's no point having a base. There's no discussion to be had. There's nothing to do. So that's also dangerous. On the one hand, you have to have respect, but you have to have a functional Beis Din, otherwise it's not going to work, right? Fine. Okay. So Ibn Bechaya basically tells us this is really, he thinks, on the one hand, there's like good advice here, which is maybe the simple pshat, but all of the Torah Shebaal Peh takes us to how Beis Din works, okay? And the Dayanim being careful and being extra careful when we make someone guilty, less careful when we let them go free, and also careful how we didn't somehow, play games with the testimony that's being made by the people themselves. Fine.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
Just because I don't know the context of the rest of the parsha.
Yes.
Is it clear in the text that this is speaking
to Beis Din?
Yeah.
Let's see.
I can pass it down.
Yeah, I'm gonna pass that for 1 second. I actually had that in mind as I was deciding, should I put like the whole block in there? But I knew if I put the whole block in there, we're gonna start asking questions about all the psukim, and then we're gonna. No, but you're right. I should have done that. No, I should have done that. Because it's important for context. You're correct.
Because I really like Rabbi Nubachai's interpretation from a perspective of Beis Din and judgment, but I also then a little bit feel like robbed because I'm like, oh, I like this pasuk as like guidance for me.
By the way, it can be both, right? That's the beauty. It can still be both things. Lo tisa shema shav. Okay, so do not accept a false report, and also don't give your hand to a bad guy to be a aid chamas, a witness that is destructive. Right? That here we go. That venal. Venal. What does that mean? That is not any English word that I know. But that doesn't mean anything. But that doesn't help me when you translate it into words that we don't know.
Whatever to tell him, it's usually like destruction.
Venal. Hamas is like, yeah, destructive. Or stealing. Hamas is always, in Noah. It's because they were Hamas. I mean, they stole from each other. But
showing susceptibility.
Susceptibility?
Bribery.
Okay. Ain't Hamas means you're going to lie. You're going to take a bribe and lie. That's good. Okay. And then the next pasuk says, Lo tiyach harei rabim l'ra'os. So we're talking about Beis Din, right? It sounds very reasonable. It's a warning to witnesses, and then, not surprising, a warning to judges.
Okay.
So that's like reasonable. Mm-hmm. Again, but it could be, Lo tiyach shem hashav, don't accept a false report. That could be Beis Din. That could also be a regular person. The Chafetz Chaim talks about that. That's the issue of a Kabbalah Lashon Hara. Right? Someone tells you something, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, well, this is important for me to know. Maybe I want to be careful not to do business with that guy, or whatever. I want my kid to date that person, so I need to know this information. But I'm not going to accept it as fact, right? So lo tisashe mashab means do not. Mm-hmm. You can only listen if you think it's necessary for you to know, and even when you listen, not to accept it as fact. That's this pasuk lo tisashe mashab. Okay, fine. Take a look at the nitziv source number 4, the Chumash Hemekdavar. Lo tiyach harei rabim l'ra'os im rabim osim ra'a b'barur lo teilech achareihem af agav shrabim hema. Okay, if people are doing the wrong thing, don't follow them because ra'a b'verur, meaning it's for sure bad. They're doing something you know is wrong. So then, not just because they're the majority, do you follow them? V'lo sane ariv im yitkotetu imcha avur zeh. They fight with you about it. Lo tane arivam. Don't respond to them. Elatia ne'alam dumya v'ose shelo kimosam. Right? Don't. Interesting. So this is all one story, right? People doing the wrong thing, don't follow. Oh, you think you're such a tzaddik? You know, oh, you don't talk Lashon Hara? You think it's tzaddik? Right? You go to a shir, right? Like people get right. And people, unfortunately, we're still in high school. Some of us will be in high school forever sometimes, or some of our friends are still in high school forever. People that we talk to, right? All right, that happens. I talked about this once in shul, about people like making fun of each other for like trying to grow in Avodas Hashem, and someone came over to me, they're like, that totally happens. You know, it happens. People make fun of each other for trying to do the right thing. Sometimes it happens. Not all of us, but sometimes it happens. But so let's say someone then says something, what should you do? Don't respond, he says. Lo sane ariv, don't get involved. Just, you do your thing, leave them alone. You want to go do something good. Go do the good thing. Don't fight with them. Azav, okay. Lintos. Ima davar shakul. Okay, now we read this. Now he's reading it differently. Okay, lo seye achare rabim l'raos. Velo sane. Comma. Don't follow them and don't respond to them. Now what? Lintos. But if it's lintos, ima davar shakul. You're not sure. It's 50-50. Shakul, it's balanced. Eich lintos, ke'elu o ke'elu. I don't know which way to go. I'm not sure which one. So azai acharei rabim lahatos. Then follow the majority. Yesh le'lech acharei das rabim shemistama kedeos harabim hu atov ve'ayashar. Wow. If you don't know what to do, then follow the majority, because what the majority is doing is probably right. Zehu pashta dahakra v'adrashas rabu bazeh. That's simple pshat, but there's a lot of drushes about this. Wow. What do you think about that?
Gives people a lot of credit.
What do you think about it? What do you think? You like it? You don't like it? I saw this. I was like, I'm definitely putting this on the sheet.
I argue with it. And I feel like the majority of the time that is right. Obviously, there's
time. You want to say the majority of the time you should follow the majority.
No, I want to be like, how could he say that? You shouldn't fall into groupthink. That just because people agree, like, but at the same time, that is usually the case. And maybe there's certain instances where that actually isn't the case, but I feel like the majority of time, everyone's kind of.
You don't like how that sounds, do you?
I don't like how it sounds, but I don't really disagree. Right.
I mean, I think the only way I like it is if I focus on the all other things being equal. So for some people, they're decisive. They know what they want. They know what they want to do. But okay. If you're like wishy-washy and you're really not sure and you don't know how to go about making the decision, then maybe like do that. It can hurt. Mm-hmm. But not like if you're someone who can think for yourself, it doesn't mean you should.
Right. Did he say that? You can't think for yourself?
Well, I mean, what did he say exactly?
You don't have to think for yourself.
Well, he's saying lintos.
Right.
Ima davar shakul etzlacha. You're right. About you. You're not sure. Yeah. Right. You're not sure. I mean, if you're sure, then go for it.
Right.
If you're sure it's wrong, then don't follow. But if you're not sure, then go with what most people are doing. It's probably okay. Wow. Okay? It sounds a little like... But you could argue, what? Who cares what I think about it? I want to, because we're going to see more. And we're going to see the Rav is going to talk about this idea of rov in halacha. And that rov in halacha has a very... No, let's look at it right now. Take a go over to source number 8, because it's fine. This is actually, this is not particularly inspiring, but it's really, but I think really interesting. It's very important, okay? I think this Chumash also, the Masoret Rav Chumash, I'm appreciating more and more every day. It's a genius move, what he did. Bezdin, I think his name is, put this together. He took all these different places in a million different books where the Rav writes things, and he sourced them based on the pasuk that they come from. Things that a lot of us would, at least I, would never see. I don't read all those books. But because we learn the Parsha, you bump into these like great ideas that the Rav wrote that you maybe otherwise wouldn't have noticed them. And you find them because they're connected to these psukim. So take a look at what he says. Fal acharei rabim lahatos. This is the principle of the majority, which the oral tradition derives from this passage. The law of evidence based on majority includes two aspects. The defined and undefined majority. Ruba de'isa kaman, veruba de'leisa kaman. You do not have to like really understand this whole point he's going to explain in a second. We use this when we talk about question of, well, you know, he's going to do it. He's going to explain it right now. The law under the aspect of defined majority, what we call ruba de'isa kaman, is applicable to a crowd or an aggregate whose numerical size is controlled. But I'm taking you now, guys, into like the first shiur in Hilchos Taharoves. One of the things you learn in Smicha is what happens when things get mixed together, meat and milk, things like that, mutter and nasar. How do you know what to follow, right, when there's a mixture that happens, okay? So the first thing you talk about is this concept of rov, how rov works, okay? So what happens? Where a survey of the whole is logically possible and can be quantified. The case of 9 stores of which 8 sell kosher and one non-kosher meat. So you have 8 kosher stores, 1 non-kosher store, in whose vicinity a piece of meat was found. Is typical of this type of majority. Okay, I know that in real life it would have like a label and right, you would know, yeah. Right? But the construct is that you don't know where it came from. There's 9 stores, 8 of them are kosher. Okay? So what would you say? What are the chances that this meat is kosher?
What town is this? That's what I'm wondering.
Yeah. Well, what would you say? That was Muncie. Okay? Okay? Right? Every store is kosher. There's one treif place down the block, right? You don't know, and you just found it in the middle, in between, so you don't know where it came from. What's the likelihood?
It's probably kosher.
Probably. It's probably enough. Maybe it's not kosher. Oh, okay. So law under the aspect of undefined majority. So that's defined majority. Ruby the East Combine. There's a whole bunch of stores. They're all in front of me. And I don't know what this is. The law under the aspect of undefined majority, Ruby the Lase Kaman, refers to a, just means Issa Kaman means it is in front of us, and Lase Kaman it's not in front of us. That's all it means. Okay? So undefined majority refers to a ratio which is uncontrollable and cannot be expressed in concrete figures. For instance, the maxim that most men are not sterile, that most animals are not diseased, expresses a pattern on the part of the majority which is not confined to our particular crowd existing at a certain time or place. When we say most men or most men, he's giving examples the Gemara gives, by the way. Why those specific those examples? He's just giving examples the Gemara gives. When we say most men or most animals, we do not refer to the majority of men and animals within specific bounds of time and space, but to mankind, the animal kingdom in general. Our assumption as to the tendency of the majority is based, as in any method of induction, upon an act of generalization. In either case, the halacha has never considered the principle of majority as a criterion of certainty. It doesn't mean we know it for sure, because the majority is like that way. Logically and mathematically, majority spells only greater probability of success. The algebraic formula of probability, the number of events corresponding to a particular result divided by the total number of possible events, in case you're wondering what it is, applies to both cases of majority, defined and undefined. That the behavior of the majority is considered normalcy and the emphasis placed by the halacha upon undefined majority is a subjective attitude which stems from generalizing inferences drawn from limited experiences and applying them to the whole qualitative class. Meaning, we know this is true most of the time. Okay? Doesn't mean it's necessarily true in this case, but it's generally true. In view of this, the halachic principle of majority is to be understood as a legal fiction which is applied to resolve certain doubtful situations that cannot be determined in any meaning, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do. So what does Chazal say? What the Torah says? Achari yarbim lahatos. You follow the majority. But I can't be certain. There's a lot of situations in which you can't be certain. You don't know what to do. If you don't have principles for how to manage it, then we'd be paralyzed. We have analysis paralysis all the time. I don't know what did that piece of meat. Maybe it came from that store. Maybe it came from that. So what do I do? You say, throw it out. But you don't just throw it out. People need to eat, right? What are you going to do? So the answer is, there's rules and regulations how to do that. And one of them is rove, okay? In light of this analysis, we understand the many reservations which were introduced by the Talmudic scholars concerning the law of majority under both aspects. But nevertheless, Chazal were not always so comfortable with just rove. Right? Two pieces of kosher meat, one piece of non-kosher meat. It's also rove. You feel comfortable eating all three? What are you going to do? Right? So gradually they deprive this principle of its universal significance and limited it almost exclusively to the realm of ritual, where the halacha considers itself omnipotent to determine the status of an event by probability. Meaning, where do they typically use rove? In the world of ritual. But the world of it's mutter usser. Is it kosher or non-kosher? That's where we use rove all the time. Okay? Someone, rabbi, these things really happen. Okay, I walked by my cholent, I was carrying the baby, and the bottle was in it, and it went in. What do I do now? The answer is, we say, if there's 60 times, this is not rove, but 60 to 1, kosher meat is mutter. What do you mean? But there's meat and milk in there. The answer is, we have to have a way to manage, right? How do we manage it? We manage by knowing you're not going to taste it. So that's a different rule, it's actually. It's called bittel, right? You're not going to taste it. But it's a similar concept, right? It's like a halachic construct, which allows us to actually function. Because if we didn't have them, we wouldn't be able to, okay? In the field of social relations in civil and criminal law, the principle of majority was declared by our scholars to be in most cases inadequate, for it's impossible to decide matters which affect human destiny by a legal fiction. So it's just interesting to note, right, that there are certain situations when we'll say, go ahead, follow rove, it's enough. Rove is fine, right? Or follow, 60 to 1, whatever, bittel. These things we use because we need to in order to be able to function. But it doesn't mean that we believe them as factual, per se. They're more like, useful in a certain sense. Pragmatic, in a certain sense. Fine.
Yeah, but that's what I was trying to say before. It's like mob mentality rove, and then there's a logical mentality rove.
Right.
This is logical.
Right.
Which you could follow rove, but if you're doing a mob mentality, like if you look at every single thing when Bnei Israel left Egypt, every single bad decision that they decided to all engage in,
right
was a mob mentality.
Mob mentality.
You
bad.
Wouldn't say, well, the majority of people thought Hashem wasn't returning, and then Moshe was returning, so we're going to do the Egel HaZahav, right?
Right.
So you wouldn't say, well, everybody thinks.
Everybody did it. Go follow the rope.
Right?
So that's
pick the mind. Complaining about the mind. We're going to starve to death. And pick every single thing. None of those were a logical mom mentality that you should have followed because everybody was saying it.
And that's why Acharei Rabim L'Ra'os, Lo Si Acharei Rabim L'Ra'os, is exactly the, right? See, it's actually good timing in the stories, is do not follow the majority for things you know are wrong. If you know it's wrong, you don't follow the rope. But we need Rove sometimes, practically. Right? And it'll be helpful. And by the way, same thing with the Bezdin. You could say a Bezdin has to be like, you know, 100-0. You don't follow Rove. You have to have it unanimous. But then also you'd never pass any shadows. Huh. Right? You'd never get anywhere. Right? So again, same, you kind of need it to use it, but you shouldn't believe that it means that that Rove is truth. And maybe that's part of this exact point. That the pasuk kind of like gives you this balance. Do not follow it for bad, but sometimes you need it. And sometimes it's going to be helpful. And by the way, to bring us back to our own point, and sometimes even socially, right, there could be times like, I don't know, if people have always been, like, we don't do things just because everyone's always done it for all time, but certain things have worked. I want to daven in a different way, and I'm going to create a new form of tefillah, and that's fine. But like, there's probably a reason why Chazal set something up a certain way, and everyone's been doing it for the last 2,000 years. Like, that might, right, it might be something to think about. I could have my own idea, but if that's the way people have been doing things for a long time, there might be something to consider before just deciding to do things all on my own, right? Which I think is maybe part of what's going on here. Okay.
Going back to your 12 angry men example.
Yes.
So was that guy, right, the original juror, was he wrong to sit here and go against 11 other jurors?
Good. So if you didn't see 12 angry men, what happens is you have 11 guys who are ready to convict, and one guy's like, I don't know. And slowly but surely, because he's like, I'm not sure, he starts to convince everybody else, and all of a sudden they all turn the other direction.
But that's the whole point, because that's exactly the time when the person should speak up, because it was going to be a negative, like a
Leros.
Negative of, yes, Leros.
Right.
It was going to be to the detriment of the defendant.
Right. So I'll tell you what is so interesting, is that Rashi that we're not going to read, it's long, basically makes the same point, which you sort of saw before already. The halacha, the Gemara Sanhedrin talks about, if you have a Sanhedrin, 70 judges, and they're deciding a capital case, and they decide 70-0, the person is let go. Because 70-0, because 70-0 means groupthink. Mm-hmm. It means that there's a person actually I know. You may know Rabbi Dr. Eliezer Shanal. He teaches NYU. So he wrote an article with another person where they talked about groupthink in halacha. Groupthink in Bezdin. It basically brings a lot of these halachos as proof that Chazal are trying to get away from groupthink. And the same idea, we talked about that you know, that we start maschilim min atzad. You start from the lower people, so that even the lower people get to speak up. Right? All these rules are in place. You can't just have a basic majority. You have to have more than a basic majority. Right? All these things are done so that people are thinking more. If you end up 70-0, what's going to happen? So you say, everyone go home and try. Now everyone has to go back and try to think about why you think the guy, you know, should go free. And if you finally have someone who can make an argument why he can go free, and everyone hears it, and they still want to send the guy to death, so fine, then send him to death. But you have to make sure that you've had an opportunity to consider the other perspective. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't done that, then we're not done. And that's sort of the point here. The Or Chaim HaKadosh, which we don't have time to see inside, just says such an interesting thing. He says that this lo siach harayim l'raos and lo sanah harayim l'tos, what it's really telling a person not to do is not to manipulate the system. Because what could happen? A person can say, I really think, so let's say you need, let's say you have 70-0, or 23-0, okay? To let the person, to kill that person, okay? He says, we're 23-0, we're gonna be stuck. So what I'll do? I'll say, I think he's fine. I'll argue that the guy is really fine, why? Because by doing that, I'm actually gonna get him killed. You hear what I'm saying? Because now I know that it's the system, I can manipulate it. Mm-hmm. So Reb Chaim says, what the pasuk is telling me, lo sane, you know, lo siach achari arim l'raos, don't say I'll use the system to make the guy chayiv. Why? Because don't do that. Rather, say what you believe.
Yeah.
Say you believe in Bo Shalom to take care of the rest. That's what he says. I didn't just find this like one line. I just think it's very beautiful. He says exactly that point. He says, source number 6, and the first paragraph, 3 lines to the bottom, where it's underlined and bolded. Ela amur datcha. Say what you think. Kefi mashia data. B'mishpatei ator. What you think? Say what you think the halach is. Ve'ein locha lishakem ala mishpat ki Hashem hu Elokim. I always say this to people, right? Just do the right thing and good things happen. You may not feel good right away, right? But if you do the right thing, you make the right decision, things go the right way. When you start to become fancy, you start to try to pull moves, bad things start to happen. You do things that are honest, you find yourself in the right direction, right? And that exactly, by the way, is what's written in this, is written in this article, source number 9. This is the article about groupthink. I just brought you one teeny tiny quote from here. Victims of groupthink, Dr. Irving Janis. This is the guy who created groupthink. And he writes the following. I use the term groupthink. It was used politically, right? Bay of Pigs, October 7th, even, they say. The Concepcia, 1973 also, Yom Kippur War. Everyone thought the same thing. The Arabs will never attack, right, et cetera. Like the things that they assumed wouldn't happen. Hamas is never going to, right? They had all these assumptions. They were thinking about Iran. Mm-hmm. They said Hamas is never going to attack like us. They're happy with making their money, et cetera. Right? You have this conception that everybody believes the same thing. That's when you get yourself in trouble. So he says, I use the term groupthink as a quick and easy way to refer to the mode of thinking that persons engage in when concurrence seeking becomes so dominant in a cohesive in-group that it tends to override realistic appraisal of alternative courses of action. If that was a big deal in the 1970s, holy cow, that is, like, I don't know, the problem with the world today, right? The world of algorithms is exactly where we are. I oftentimes say to young people, some of them maybe who live in my house, like, you have to realize, like, if you click, the next thing you're going to get is going to be the same thing, right? And that puts us all in these bubbles. And it is really becoming impossible to find yourself. And you can hear yourself do it sometimes, right? Like, you see something, you're like, oh, and you, like, take the perspective that you saw on whatever website or person or whoever it is that you listen to who spins the news, right? You can hear the spin. You already know the spin. You know what they're going to say, because they're so extreme at this point that they spin everything in one direction or the other. And I think the goal is to do neither. Right? The goal is, everyone's biased. We're all biased. I try to read, like, you know, somewhere in the two sides just to see what they're saying, because I like, but, you know, but not really unbiased. But, like, to try our best to find some way to listen to both. We could disagree with each one in different ways, but at least find a place to disagree rather than feeling so cozy and comfortable that I line up right with that side and I feel good and I can point at the other people and shake my finger, you know? It's like such an unhealthy world right now because of this, I think. And reminding ourselves the reason embedded is so important for this not to happen is literally life or death. I know it's kind of extreme to say, but I think it's true. It's life or death in this world also. This type of thinking is literally, you know, it's dangerous. It's really dangerous for the world, and I think it's dangerous for all of us. And it's also dangerous for ourselves and our Avodas Hashem. We do the same thing. We, like, line up a certain way. We refuse to listen to another perspective, to consider new things, to consider things we haven't done before, because it's much more comfortable just to sit in our corner and feel good about, I'm 70 to nothing. Everyone's like me. We all believe that. Those people are crazy, right? And whichever side they're on, right? And I think that the more we can use this model as a model, not just for, wow, look what Bezdin does, and be proud of that, which I think we should be, but also to use it as a model for how we kind of, like, look at the world and look at our own lives. So then hopefully we prevent ourselves from falling into that place, not just because we'll make bad decisions, but because we'll allow ourselves to be open-minded to finding ways to grow in all kinds of situations. Okay? Next week we'll do the next pasuk. No, I'm kidding.